streaming live on saga960am.ca.
Hello, everybody. How are you? Welcome to Media Nation. It's another beautiful day in our wonderful city. I'm so happy to be here, and thank you so much for joining us. We'd love for you to call our show. It's Media Nation. I'm Carlene Nation. You are listening to Saga 960 AM Radio. We're touching on a controversial subject matter today, a controversial topic, one with many layers, I would say multiple layers. It has to do with a trans woman who wanted to get Brazilian waxing services done. And she called up a number of estheticians, and these estheticians said that they could not perform a Brazilian wax on a trans woman who has male genitalia. That is essentially what was happening here. The trans woman filed multiple human rights complaints, and a number of these women, these estheticians, many of them are from various ethnic backgrounds that in some instances prevented them from working on male genitalia, if you will. In this instance, the trans woman did what she did. She filed multiple human rights complaints, and in some of the cases, these estheticians were forced to shut down their businesses because they couldn't handle the expense of the legal case, and they were so distressed and distraught. So businesses were shut down. In one case, the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms intervened in one case, and the complainant, a trans woman by the name of Jessica Yaniv, was for eventually canceled her complaint against this esthetician. And in one case out of the multiple cases that were filed, the esthetician prevailed with assistance from the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms. I would like to welcome today our guest, John Carpe. He's a constitutional lawyer and the president of the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms. Welcome to the show, John Carpe. Is John there? Okay, John will join us very, very shortly. Essentially, the JCCF intervened in this case, and this esthetician prevailed, making the case that she wasn't properly trained to do that particular type of Brazilian waxing. I have to make it very clear. I support Canadians of all gender backgrounds getting the services that they wish. I support them getting the services if they want to go to a business. I support them getting the services, but I have a problem with human rights complaints being filed, and the human rights these human rights organizations going after small business owners and forcing business owners to shut down. That is problematic for me. Do we have John on the line now?
This is Jessica Yaniv. I'm here.
Oh, Jessica. Hi, Jessica. How are you?
Hey, I'm okay. How are you?
I am very, very good. Thank you so much for joining Media Nation today. Jessica, tell me, what happened? Why did you file these human rights complaints?
Well, I have been transgender since age 6, but living a quite a private life. And, you know, I really wanted to seek this gender-affirming care, which I consider like facials, waxing, manicures, pedicures. You know, one really important thing that I want to note that that the JCCF or the Justice Center has not revealed is these are not all, not all these cases are about Brazilian waxing. I had a case that the Justice Center represented with refusal of an arm wax. So, you know, I've been refused services for things such as facials, pedicures, manicures, Indian head massage, waxing, arm waxing, leg waxing, you name it. I was probably rejected for it. And I'm finding this to be honestly ridiculous because, you know, if people are going to start refusing services just because they claim religion and claim culture, it opens up a very, very dangerous precedent where technically anyone can get rejected service, even if they're not transgender, it doesn't matter. Like, I'll give you an example here. You know, like Vancouver Rape Relief, like I reside close to Vancouver, British Columbia, and Vancouver Rape Relief, they refuse to house women who are trans, but would we also accept that fact if Vancouver Rape Relief refused to house women who are Sikh, Muslim, white, or black just because they want to? It's essentially the same thing here. You know, that we're opening up a very, very dangerous precedent where anyone can go and refuse service for any basis that they want because they claim religion or culture.
Let me be clear, Jessica. I support you as a trans woman, as a Canadian. You should be able to go to any business and ask for a service if the business offers that service, and you should be able to get the service. What I find problematic are these human rights complaints where these businesses essentially were shut down. Many of these women couldn't afford the human rights process, and they shut down their businesses. I don't think that's a positive situation.
I don't either, but, you know, I just want to make mention here that the Marcia da Silva, or as it was called, Marcia Carnaba complaint, she's only been in business for what the representative for the Justice Center has stated. She's only been in business for doing waxing for 3 weeks, and I was her only potential client. So I find it much of a stretch that the media has put out that I shut down this business. You know, like the other businesses that I've filed complaints against, like I have one complaint that was against the hair salon. The hair salon literally got broken into by somebody and shut down within 3 weeks of me filing the complaint. Another business, Merle Norman, got their lease suspended. Merle Norman Cosmetic Studios in Burnaby, it seems that if their lease got suspended by the landlord, because I did advise the landlord, and the landlord was originally in the human rights proceedings. But, you know, these complaints, you know, if a business decides to pull out, it's really not my issue here. For example, was Merle Norman Burnaby, which is going to be heard on the 26th. So I'll give you a little bit of a backstory here so you can understand where I'm getting at. Is Merle Norman Burnaby, I originally booked, I called them, and I can even play the recording if you wish.
Yes, it's okay. You know, you can, yeah, tell the story, yes.
Yeah, so basically, I went and I phoned them. This was like around 8 o'clock in the evening, Pacific. I went and I phoned them and I said, hey, you know what, I'm going to be in the area. I'm really looking for a Brazilian wax. And I booked this under my male name. The person that answered the phone had absolutely no issue with the wax. And right before she hung up, I just let her know that, hey, I just want to advise, you know, I am getting this service done. My name is my male name. I'm not going to repeat on the phone, but is there an issue because I'm transgender? I said, oh, no, sorry, we can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where I have an issue, mm-hmm. because all of these complaints, the other ones that they're going to be proceeding on the 26th as well, they had no issue with doing the services on a male, for example. They have an issue with doing it on a transgender person. That's why these complaints were filed, because they're basically, a lot of these cultures don't exactly believe in transgenderism. I get it. But they should not use their culture in order to refuse service just because, you know, that just because that's what they believe in. It goes into the same type of precedent, like what happened in the States with the Masterpiece Cake Shop, where someone wants to get a cake done for their kid. Kid identifies as a different gender. They ask for a different color, like blue or pink, to be put on the cake, and the baker refuses because of their religion and they don't believe in it. That's basically what we're running into here. And if this gets accepted, this type of behavior gets accepted in Canada, it's going to create quite a problem for everybody.
And
that's why I filed this complaint. It's not about being transgender. It's not about being about waxing at all. It's basically about people using their religion and culture to refuse service on any basis that they want, when they want.
In some instances, the women have indicated that they had never performed a Brazilian wax on a male genitalia, so to speak. And so they have some issues in terms of doing it properly, in terms of doing it safely. I mean, I've been waxed many times, and I can tell you, in some instances, not everybody does it properly. Some instances, you get burnt from the hot wax, et cetera. You have to be so careful. And you only go to people who do the job properly and who are equipped to do it. I understand your situation. I'll tell you why. My sisters had a store for many years in the esthetician. They were doing makeup and wigs for women. Mm-hmm. They noticed they were downtown. They were getting trans women coming in who wanted a service. They wanted wigs. They wanted makeup. And so my sisters added that on to the businesses. So I do support I want to make it clear, trans women, trans men should get the support that they need out there from businesses. But exactly. My soul, I was sad to hear that some of these businesses, you explained that there were various circumstances as to why some of these businesses were closed down. I have a problem with the Human Rights Commission coming down heavy-handed instead of everybody sitting in a room and working things out. Working things out in a way that would be good for both parties. I have a massive problem with these human rights commissions.
I totally agree with that. Originally 16 complaints were filed, and basically a lot of those respondents ended up giving me fake names, fake info, fake phone numbers. And I wasn't able to proceed with about four of those complaints. And these complaints were actually pretty serious, and it's disappointing that that they couldn't proceed. So I had to withdraw those. And then another four of them were actually solved in mediation, and I have been pushing mediation since these complaints were filed and accepted. I said, you know what? These issues can be resolved, not in a hearing, not under all the stress and all the media attention. We can all solve many of these issues in mediation. And I have solved many issues in mediation for about four or five of these cases. And it's gone extremely well. When the Justice Center, unfortunately, they don't believe, it seems like they don't believe in mediation, because I've requested them to seek mediation. The thing with mediation, which a lot of people don't understand, is if things are not resolved in mediation, you can go to a hearing, but the Justice Center immediately shutting down the fact that, oh, we don't want to deal in mediation. It's just they just wanted to go directly to a hearing. They didn't even want to give their clients the opportunity to settle this amicably in a mediation session.
In many instances, though, these women do not have $5,000-$10,000 to settle a case. They're small business owners. For a small business owner to come up with 10 grand, they're basically out of business.
Exactly, which is why there are organizations like the Justice Center that do this pro bono, but the Justice Center, like any type of firm, can settle things in mediation. without putting all the stress on their clients.
And we're going to be speaking to John Carpe with the JCCF very shortly. Jessica, one more thing. I spoke to Lindsay Shepherd yesterday. Yes. And Lindsay Shepherd was banned by Twitter because she had an interaction with you on Twitter. She felt that you were attacking her. You made references to her genitalia. She pushed back and she was banned. What was that situation about?
Well, to be fair, Lindsay Shepherd has been attacking me on Twitter since about November of 2018, where I essentially kept quiet on this. I reported things on the back, on the back burner. Eventually I had to stand up where basically I am under the assumption that Lindsay and the JCCF have a multitude of fake accounts, which is why I have brought forward a $500,000 cost application that unfortunately has to go against all the respondents that the JCCF is representing, all three of those, which is very unfortunate. However, I don't really have a choice with this because I cannot seek costs directly against the council for their behavior. And there's been a multitude of improper conduct, both from Mr. Carpe, actually mostly from Mr. Carpe and from Lindsay Shepherd.
In the case of Lindsay, I think it was inappropriate to make reference to her genitalia. If someone did that to me on Twitter, I would push back quite hard.
Yeah. To be fair, both Lindsay Shepherd and the JCCF have made multiple inappropriate comments about my genitalia for months, and I just made one snarky remark back to Lindsay. But the multitude of inappropriate comments that have come from John Carpe and Lindsay Shepherd, it's unreal.
I thank you, Jessica Yaniv. Thank you so much.
No problem.
I mean, yes, you took some heavy criticism on social media, on Twitter. I applaud you for taking the time.
I did. I do want to say one thing. You know, it's like when it comes down to things like an arm wax, for example, it's like give me an arm wax or a leg wax. Like, give me a break on those. You know, it's like the arm wax proceeding with Suki He Hargill. I found it absolutely ridiculous that someone can literally institute religion and culture into this. And the other thing I want to mention is apparently this respondent is on a low income basis due to, and they were in a pretty good job as a care aide in the Frida Health Authority, but when they according to them, when they got married, they left that job due to the fear that they're going to touch a biological man. I just find that really, you know, I don't really know what to say. You know, you're taking a potential $25,000 income in annually, and you're taking it allegedly down to $500 because you're so scared of touching a biological man. It's just,
I see your point. What I think should happen is there should be a meeting with the trans women community, with the esthetician schools and the esthetician businesses, have a big public meeting and talk to these esthetician schools about teaching the estheticians how to wax carefully, because a male genitalia needs to be handled carefully. So I think instead of calling these businesses and say, do the service, they say no. And then there's a lawsuit. I think there's some other ways around it. But I do.
But the one thing I just want to touch on is a lot of these businesses that I have filed complaints against are not even licensed to do anything. Nor is it to my belief that they have even undergone any sort of official training as well.
And that and in that instances, you could wind up being burned or being mistreated. I would not. I will admit,
it is very, very, very risky.
I would not go to an esthetician who's not at a responsible and a reputable organization. Mm-hmm. I thank you so much, Jessica.
Yeah, no problem.
It was very courageous of you to hunt me down, call me on the show, and get out your point of view.
Yeah, I just wanted people to hear my side of the story because, unfortunately, organizations like Feminist Current and other ones, I'm just watching my Twitter. They're not, you know, they're not seeking my opinion on this. They're just publishing things. But I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to reach out to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And we will follow up with you again.
Of course.
You, Jessica Yanev.